Well, we've been doing a verse-by-verse exposition of the Gospel of Matthew. And this morning, we're going to observe the Lord's table, so we're just going to divert from that exposition. We've actually ended chapter 4 last Sunday, and now chapter 5 of Matthew is going to be the Sermon on the Mount, which is actually three chapters long, 5, 6, and 7, which is a sermon, and I've never preached to the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not really sure how to preach a sermon. I feel like just reading it and saying, there you go, there's the sermon, but we're going to look at it and glean its great truths. So this morning, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. I know that it's morning time, and we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And there's a reason they call it the Lord's Supper. It's called that because it was during the Passover Supper, the Lord instituted this observance and made it a New Testament church observance. When he instructed the apostles to observe the Passover Supper as his deliverance from sin's bondage, as he himself would be the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. The Lord's Supper has been called throughout Christianity as the Lord's table observance. It's been called the communion, which speaks of our union with Christ. It's been called the Eucharist, which is the Greek word eucharisteo, which means to give thanks. The primitive indigenous New Testament church, they simply referred to it as their love feast or the breaking of bread. This formal ceremony, Christians commemorate and concentrate and consume the bread and the cup, is a New Testament church ordinance, an authoritative decree our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prescribed as a religious rite for all Christians to obey. The night Jesus made this institution ordinance was during a very special church religious celebration called the Passover. The Passover was a once-a-year Jewish festival, a Jewish holy day. When the month Nisan came on the 15th day, the Jews would keep this Passover observance instituted by God himself when he delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage after 400 years of slavery. The Lord plagued the Egyptian king and the kingdom with 9 plagues. And the 10th plague would be death to the firstborn of Egypt. But the Lord said he would pass over the firstborn of Israel and that they would not die. But for Israel to be delivered from 400 years of Egyptian bondage and their firstborn spared, they must obey the Lord's direct command by marking their homes with lamb's blood. This is the Lord's command. Let me read a portion of that to you out of Exodus chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now if the household is too small for the lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them. According to what each man shall eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh the same night, roasted with a fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its ends and its legs, along with its entrails. And you should not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left until the morning you shall burn it with fire. Now, you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. Of course, when the Lord did that, the Egyptian king said, leave, flocks, take everything, go to Mount Sinai and worship the Lord like you said. And as they were leaving, Moses reminded the people, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery. For by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten. And he reminded them to remember this day that the Lord delivered you with a strong, strong arm. This memorial event in the history of Israel was to never be forgotten. It was to be a memorial for them, a permanent ordinance to be remembered. And it was during this Passover ordinance Jesus instituted what we call the Lord's Supper for the New Testament church. Now, in Luke chapter 2, where he did that, it says, now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. And in verse 14 and 15 says, when the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and Jesus said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So Jesus is about to suffer. It is this Passover night. He's gathered with his apostles, and Luke 22:16 records for us, this night Jesus changed the Jewish Passover to the Lord's Supper for the New Testament church. In Luke 22:16, as I continue what I just was reading to you, for I say to you, I shall never again eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. What is vitally significant is what Jesus said. He said in verse 19, do this in remembrance of me. Now they were observing the Passover, which was supposed to remind them of their deliverance from Egypt's bondage. And he says that night, do this now, this Passover, in remembrance of me. No longer observe the Passover in remembrance of the Lord's deliverance of Israel's bondage, but now in remembrance of him. The Lord Jesus himself was the Passover lamb that would be killed. The very Passover day when the priests were slaughtering hundreds and hundreds of lambs for the Passover that year, the exact same time Jesus was on Golgotha dying on a cross, the exact same time they were slitting those lambs' throats, he was dying, shedding his blood on the cross, that same Passover. And his blood would mark believers in his sacrificial blood atonement for their sins. And the Lord will see the blood on the day of judgment, and he will pass over them and spare them and deliver them from sin's judgment and bondage. And they will go to the promised land, heaven. Just like God delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage, they went to Mount Sinai, they got the law, and then they went to the promised land. The Jewish Passover was an historical event in the life of Israel. Yes, it was. It was their deliverance from bondage, never to be forgotten. But in reality, it pictured the Lord's deliverance of the sinner's life to bondage of sin. That's what it really pictures. The Passover was a deliverance of a nation's bondage to another nation. The Lord's Supper is a deliverance of a person's bondage of sin and condemnation. It goes from national to personal. The point Jesus was making that night was, what was to be remembered? That's the point. They were observing this formal ceremony, and now he changed what he wanted them to remember. The lamb that was killed, whose blood was used to mark the doorpost of the Jewish home, or the Lamb of God that was killed upon Calvary, whose blood was used to mark the sinner's heart. There was a shift in what he wanted them to remember. Remember the blood that marks you, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's what I want you to remember. The apostles understood clearly what the Lord was doing that night during the Jewish Passover when it was changed to the New Testament ordinance of the Lord's Supper. I'm sure their jaws dropped and they go, wow, you're changing everything. You're changing everything. And of course he was. Jesus was going to ratify the new covenant in his own blood, inaugurating the new covenant and those who were going to enter into it. The new covenant was promised in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and Jesus ratified that covenant in his own blood, sealed and signed it with his own blood, and made that covenant come into effect. Just like the Jewish Passover was a memorial of their deliverance and ordinance to be remembered, so the Lord's Supper is a memorial of our deliverance, an ordinance to be remembered. The Lord Jesus, by direct revelation to the Apostle Paul, re-emphasized the importance of this memorial ordinance. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:23, and he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I deliver to you." Paul got direct revelation to Jesus. Jesus spoke to him personally and gave him this direct revelation. He told the Apostle Paul that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Jesus gives Paul direct revelation, and he tells him two times, verse 24 and 25, do this, when you take the bread and you take the cup, do this in remembrance of me. It was during the Passover night when Jesus changed the Jewish Passover to the New Testament Lord's Supper. Recorded. When you read in Luke, Luke only says once Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. But Jesus himself tells the Apostle Paul by personal direct revelation, when the New Testament church observes this ordinance, when they partake of the bread, they're to do this in remembrance of me. And when they partake of the cup, they're to do this in remembrance of me. He re-emphasized the memory of what's going on. The Lord's Supper, like what the Passover was for remembrance. It was to remember what the Lord had done for them and the Lord has done for us, just like Israel is to remember what the Lord did for them. I want you to know there's something about this remembering. That's my point. There's something about this remembering. Jesus emphasized, do this in remembrance of me. There's something about remembering. I think it's pretty easy for Christians to get spiritual amnesia and kind of forget who they are and forget whose they are. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your own, and that you have been bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says. You have been bought with a price. As Christians can't forget who they are and whose they are. Knowing that we were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from the futile way of life inherited by your fathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, 1 Peter 1:19. We were redeemed, we were bought with the precious blood, the spotless, unblemished blood of Christ, and that is because he was sinless. Sometimes we as Christians can forget about the great deliverance we have experienced by God's grace and the great cost of our deliverance, the precious blood of Jesus. We forget about his incarnation and we forget about his atonement. And sometimes we just get spiritual amnesia and forget about all that. And I want you to know the Lord knows our mentality that is bombarded by the unregenerate, unbelieving world that we live in. We live in a godless society. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to life, Matthew 7:13, Jesus said. The world that we live in is predominantly anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-Bible, and therefore anti-moral, godless, and living ungodly. Propagating the mentality of the depraved mind in all its society worldwide. All you have to do is just look at the news. And the New Testament church's purpose is to be the pillar and ground of the truth that deconstructs that ideological framework the world is trying to build up in our minds. The world is bombarding you with their worldview, and we come to church and we hear the word of God, and that deconstructs that ideology that the world is trying to build up in your mind. And that is evidenced when we as the Christians gather around the teaching and preaching of the word of God and remember our great salvation and our great Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. This is what the church does. It's completely opposite of what you're going to hear in the world. And that is the purpose of the Lord's Supper ordinance. To remember. Listen, there's a reason why the Lord told the apostles to observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. There's the reason why he told them, do this in remembrance of me. All you have to do, as you look around at modern day Christianity, and take note of the contemporary Christian music that is really just secular music now, and they call it Christian, and the entertainment based so-called worship services that sing songs about themselves, me, 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 and I, and how devoted they are. And then they preach and teach a man-centered, self-exalting, self-righteous sermons of how you can be all that with this Christian flavor of religion in your life. The contemporary evangelical churches of our day have figured out how to do church without the Word of God, without exalting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. They figured it out. It's all about health and wealth and prosperity and personal gain and self-esteem and felt needs and money and healing and self-style, self-promoting, charismatic, emotional, inspirational, feel-good, happy-clappy gatherings that disregard the prominence and the focus of the priority of the Word of God in the church and His Holy Son Jesus. And the desperate need of the sinner to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Too good having a big party and have a concert and happy clapping and feeling, smoking mirrors, and the Word of God isn't even preached. Some guys never even open their Bible, never read a verse, and just go off. And they got rock and roll band going on and singing all this stuff, and everybody jumping up and down. Wasn't that just great? And then when they go out in the world and they have to face the world, they have nothing to stand on. They have no faith in the Lamb of God who takes away the sins in the world. Not only society with its non-Christian worldview of atheism trying to cause us to forget our Savior and our salvation, but the contemporary Christianity is slowly and surely replacing sound doctrine and serious worship with a more user-friendly, uncommitted, self-identifying Christianity, which for the most part have filled our churches with people who have been given a false sense of security, thinking they're right with God, when in fact they have never really repented and submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can see why it's easy. So easy for the true born-again Christian to get distracted, to lose focus, rationalizing his lack of prayer or Bible reading, and especially his faithful attendance to the body of Christ, the church, for worship and learning the truth of the Word of God. If you get bombarded by the world, you think so much about the world, the Word of God and prayer and the church just seems a little different. It seems to be distracting. It doesn't seem to kind of fit with what's been going on all week in your mind. We need spiritual jerks to jerk us back into spiritual truth, to keep the feet of faith steadied on the rock of the Word of God. And this morning I'm the jerk. And the Lord's Supper is to help us not to forget that we are sinners saved by grace. To help us. God is always reminding us not to forget our salvation and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God is always stating in His Word not to forget Him and His marvelous works. Even when God gave Israel the Ten Commandments, He thundered in Exodus 28, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." Why? Because they would forget to keep it holy and just make it another day. The Lord did not want His chosen people, Israel, to forget how and why they were free people delivered from slavery. The Lord told them, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Deuteronomy 5:15. Remember that you were a slave and how you got delivered. And keep the Sabbath day holy. When He did deliver them and was about to give them the promised land through the conquest of Joshua, the Lord told them, "Don't forget your great deliverance and your great deliverer when you get into the promised land." And so Moses had to tell them, when they were in the plains of Moab, about ready to cross the Jordan River into Jericho and take the promised land, he had to remind them again, "Don't forget when you the Lord goes before you and delivers these pagans in your hand, you get the promised land and everything goes honky-dinky-dory for you and you're just going to forget me. Don't do that." He tells them in Deuteronomy 8:1, "All the commandments that I'm commanding you today, you should be careful to do that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that He might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains of springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and figs, trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you shall eat food without scarcity, in which you shall not lack anything, the land whose stones are iron, and of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there is no water, brought for water for you out of the rock of the flint. And the wilderness He fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and He might test you to do you good in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your own heart, 'My power and the strength of my hand has made this wealth.' But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who has given you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is today. And it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today, you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord made to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. He had to remind them, you're going to go in the land, and you have all these commandments. Obey the commandments. And when you get in the land, and everything's going great for you, and you prosper, don't become proud in your hearts and say, look what I did. It's what the Lord did. And sometimes we as Christians, we're saved, and we go, look what I did. Listen, you are saved by grace and not by works, lest any man should boast. That's what happens. We have a tendency to forget the Lord. We become proud in our hearts. We are so blessed of the Lord that after a while we begin to take His grace for granted, as if we deserve it, which is actually contradictory to what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. It is undeserved blessings. We should not expect it. But we're so blessed that we just kind of expect it. Grace should not be something we take for granted or are not thankful for. Forgetting our great salvation and the blood atonement for our sins will cause you to take grace for granted. If you forget about your great salvation and forget about the great cost of your salvation, you'll just begin to take God's blessings for granted as if you deserve them. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, who was pastoring the church of Ephesus, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Remember. The Apostle Peter wrote that we should remember the words spoken beforehand by the prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles, 2 Peter 3:2. You see, the Word of God is full of remember, remember, don't forget, remember, don't forget, remember, don't forget. The Lord knows our propensity to forget and that we need to be reminded of who we are and whose we are. We are children of the Most High God. We are citizens of heaven. We are ambassadors in a foreign land. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. We've been bought and paid for by our Savior's blood when He gave His incarnate body on the cross as an atonement for our sins. And He said, it is finished, paid for, tetelestai. Do this in remembrance of me, are His words to us. Do this in remembrance of me. That's why we come to church, in remembrance of Jesus, in remembrance of what He did for us when He saved us. Do this in remembrance of me. Do you know that it is a sin to partake of the Lord's Supper and not do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ the Lord? That's what He said. Do this in remembrance of me. That's why Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let each man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. 1 Corinthians 11, 27-28. Some people go through the motions, never having the memory of the Lord's deliverance of their slavery to sin. In other words, they're never saved. Some so deluded by this ungodly society or distracted by so-called religion, they don't even know why they come to church to begin with. They don't even know why they come to church. Oh, it's Sunday, I got to go to church. Why? It just becomes an external show of some type of religiosity or piety, but no heart of love for the Lord or for His word or for His people. The Lord judged the Corinthian church, and Paul said, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick and number sleep. God went through that church, and He went through that church and purged that church of the people that were just going through the motions, not even saved. They were spots in their love feast. The Lord's Supper is for Christians, administered and observed by Christians. It is a memorial celebration of Christ's death on the cross for sinners. It is my calling and privilege to bring the Word of God to you, to deconstruct all that the world bombards you with. This church and its preaching and teaching, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. so that we are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is good and perfect, acceptable will of God. And that's what the Lord's Supper is going to help us do this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement that we need to be reminded. And Lord, help us not to just tack on the Lord's Supper at the end of a service as if it's just something we have to do. It's something we get to do. It's something that we desperately need to do to remind us of the great cost of our salvation and our salvation in his blood, and that he is coming back again for us. He promised that. I will go away, prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thank you, Lord, for these that have come and have heard your word. And I pray that it has helped them. It has bolstered their faith. It has challenged them. It has deconstructed the ideologies that the world wants to build up in their minds. Help us, Lord, to realize that your truth sanctifies us and sets us free. Help us, Lord, now to engage in this celebration, this love feast, this breaking of bread, this communion, reminding us of our union with you, this Eucharist that we give thanks. Help us, Lord, to do this in a very serious and heartfelt, thankful manner, remembering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray this in his name and for his glory. Amen.